sounds like it would be like a cool commercial, like background music for like a Yamaha dirt bike or something.
I was thinking like a big, like bulky guy using huge power tools or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Or like a guy's on a Harley or something.
Yes.
Yeah, this should be in a Super Bowl commercial with like dudes on a Harley and doing like jumps, like on ramp, like Evel Knievel ramp jumps.
With fire.
Fireworks. Yeah.
I'm just a pyromaniac. Just kidding.
It sounds pretty cool. Yeah, like power tools. They're like riding. They're riding on a Harley, like with power tools, like drills. Like,
yeah. Zzz. American flags, eagles, and
eagles. Just random eagles. Yep. Fly.
Man, we always start these episodes off so randomly, and we probably confuse the heck out of our listeners.
I know, but it's such good ideas, and they only happen at the beginning of the intro.
But that's not why we're here.
No, we're not here for that. Law and Disorder.
Hey, guys.
Coming at you, episode 108. Mm-hmm. 108. Welcome, guys. Let's get into thanking the sponsors. Thank you to Wavespace Audio for giving us this awesome intro. Then we're just like, oh, we need to do this. We need to blow up things and have fireworks and eagles and America. So thanks, guys. And thanks to Young Ideas Dish. Hit them up for all of your Dish network and Google product needs.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, guys.
And we are here, and we're talking scandal.
Scandal. Yes.
Hollywood scandals.
Hollywood scandals.
And it's not even like recent Hollywood scandals.
No, we're going to talk about some scandals. And the reason we're talking about this is because Sergio sent me this really interesting article. But these are Hollywood scandals that happened that were really big at the time, but then most people kind of forgot about. I will admit, I've never heard of a lot of these, and I actually don't even know who some of these people are. But the ones I do know really were like, dang, made me second guess how much I like these actors and actresses.
And for me, some of this stuff, you know, it happened when I was old enough to remember it. And I'm like, ooh, I forgot about that. Ooh, they overcame that. But BuzzFeed didn't. They didn't let them overcome it. They're like, no, we got all these in an article.
So. Yeah. And this is way better than, like, the scandals that happen now. Like, right now it's all about Ariana Grande and Ethan What's-His-Face. And I'm like, that's, like, the only...
I don't know what they did. Who did? I don't...
I guess I can explain it real quick. But do you know Ariana Grande?
The singer, yeah.
Okay. She was married for like a couple years, and she went off to go film Wicked. And while she was filming Wicked, she met the guy that plays SpongeBob in the SpongeBob musical.
Okay.
His name's Ethan something. And he's married, or was married, with like a brand new baby. And he married like his high school sweetheart. So like, yeah, they got together. So like everyone's calling Ariana like a big homewrecker. And that's like the big scandal right now.
Wow, I didn't know that one.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's the worst thing that could happen.
These ones I think are more interesting. So we're gonna start right here at the top. We're gonna start with good old, if you've seen him, you recognize him, Christian Slater.
Ooh.
He was a big heartthrob in the 90s.
He was a big heartthrob in the 90s. Mm-hmm. He was also a little bit of a rascal in the 90s.
I'm learning that after reading this. Mm-hmm. But he apparently, and this was back again in the 90s, he spent 100 days in rehab after he spent 3 months in jail for his assaulting his then girlfriend and a police officer.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I thought he was just like a mean person in the movies.
No, he was a mean person. I mean, he's not dead. He's a mean person back then, I guess. He had a weapon possession in 95. He spent 90 days in jail, 3 months in rehab. He was in a group that I didn't even know existed called Batterers for Beating. He was in a treatment program for batterers for beating his girlfriend during a drug and alcohol bender. So did they just call it Batterers for Beating?
Oh my gosh. And then in 2005, he was arrested for sexual harassment. What? I know Christian Slater, but I never heard any of this. And maybe I'm just a little too young to know that, but I just remember him in like a couple movies.
Yeah. And I mean, he was in movies, you know, back in the day. And he's done some stuff now, you know, as an older actor. But yeah, he just, you know, but back in the 90s, he was like it. Like, he was one of those, like, yeah, big up and coming mm-hmm. guys, you know. So that's interesting stuff to hear about him. This one here, I did not know this one. And you might not know who this actress is. Rebecca Gayhart. She doesn't ring a bell to you.
No.
So in the 90s, she did these Noxzema commercials. Do you know what Noxzema is?
It's a drug.
It's a facial cream. It's like a daily facial cream.
Okay. Okay.
And she was just known as the Noxzema girl. And she was all over, like, MTV, because that's really, you know, that was for, like, teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Noxzema is for, like, people who have acne and breakouts and oily skin and all that. So she was, like, the Noxzema girl. And this was in the late 90s, I think mid to late 90s. She did a little acting, but that's how she started off. So in 2001, she killed a kid. She killed a 9-year-old kid crossing the street.
Like, with her car?
Yes.
Aww.
So she, there was a thing, like, a, you know, you can't cross because there's kids crossing.
A crosswalk.
Yeah. And she was, like, frustrated, and she went around the car that was behind her, and the kid was right there, and she struck him, and she killed him. She only got probation and a $2,800 fine.
I take it she wasn't, you know, if she had been, like, driving under the influence or something like that, I'm sure it would have been a much harsher sentence. But she deserved something way more than that.
She hit him going in excess of 40 miles an hour. She didn't, like, bump him and he just happened to fall and hit his head and die. She ran him over.
Oh, that's disheartening.
Yeah, and they're saying that, you know, she did pay for the funeral expenses. But it's like, she killed somebody. She killed a kid. In an area that he shouldn't have been hit. Like, it was set up to where nobody should hit him.
Mm-hmm. Because she was impatient.
The car in front of her was stopped to let this poor kid go across the street. And then she went around that car because she was impatient.
Well, according to her words, it sounds like she's, you know, she regrets what happened and she feels guilty. So I don't know what kind of mental state she's been in since then, but doesn't matter. I think she deserved a little bit more than that. I'll have to look her up. I have no idea who that is. I'll look up Noxzema.
Yeah, okay.
If that's still a thing.
So I don't know who this guy is, so we're going to skip this one. But the next one, I do know. Do you remember the movie The Land Before Time?
Yeah, with the dinosaurs.
Yeah, with Littlefoot mm-hmm. and Sharptooth and Ducky. Mm-hmm. Remember Ducky?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep. Wasn't that Ducky? That was Ducky. He's like, yep, yep.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a little girl that voiced Ducky, and that movie came out in 1988. She was murdered by her father a few months before the movie came out.
Yeah, I knew this one when I read it.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. It's really sad.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, apparently she had a really bad childhood. It was just full of abuse.
Her father was very abusive and an alcoholic.
It's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So, the wife was planning to leave. She was planning to leave the husband. And he murdered his wife and the kid before setting the house on fire with him in it.
Yep.
What the heck? I didn't know that story.
I'm a true crime person, girly at heart. So I heard this story a long time ago. I haven't seen Land Before Time since I was very, very little. And I didn't care for it all that much because I'm not into dinosaurs. And it kind of creeped me out. But hearing that story, it was very interesting and very sad. And she's not the only child actor that's, like, suffered a fate like that. Wasn't it, like, the little girl that was in Poltergeist also died? I think she got sick or something.
I know, but it's like, gosh, yeah. That's just so sad. And I didn't know. Okay, everybody knows this guy. Mark Wahlberg.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Wahlberg has done movies. You know him from Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch with Good Vibrations.
I don't know that, but I know him from movies. I know he was in there, but I don't know him from that. I know him from movies.
His brother is Donnie Wahlberg of New Kids on the Block. He could have been in New Kids on the Block. They actually offered him, like, a spot on New Kids on the Block and he turned it down. Like, he's, you know, he's, I don't know if he won an Oscar, but he's been nominated for Oscars. He's a producer. Like, he's a pretty big name in Hollywood, mm-hmm. even now. And he had a lot of issues when he was younger.
I do know that he had a troubled past. I do know that he had, like, some issues when he was a kid, but I did not know the extent of them.
Yeah. He did a lot of stuff. He's from Boston. He was charged with multiple race-related hate crimes in the 80s.
Race-related?
Yeah. So, apparently in 86, he was 15 years old. Him and three friends were charged for chasing three African-American children and pelting them with rocks while yelling, "Kill the N-words," until an ambulance driver intervened. And the next day, he harassed another group of mostly African-American children that were younger than him, 9 or 10 years old, at the beach. And he got together with other white men to join in racially abusing and throwing rocks at him.
See, I thought he did, like, drugs and stolen stuff.
In 88, while he was high on PCP, he attacked two Vietnamese men.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, when you're high on PCP, maybe he didn't realize who he was attacking. I give some doubt to that when you're high on drugs. But the ones when he was a sober teenager, that's him just being a...
He knocked the Vietnamese guy unconscious with a 5-foot wooden stick while punching another man.
You think they were like, did it look like a, was he tripping? Did that look like a monster coming at him or something?
I don't know, but he served 2 years in prison, but he only did 45 days.
2 years, you get out in a month and a half.
And in 2014, he sought a pardon. He sought out a pardon from the governor, apologizing for his actions as a youth, but later dropped the request 2 years later. So in 2020, he told media he had allegedly, quote, done the work to make things right. I don't know, man. That's crazy.
I mean, he was a kid. I mean, this is a kid picking on other kids.
Yeah, I guess.
It's still not right.
Not when you're attacking adult Vietnamese.
No, men. That's that. Not that case. But the other cases just suck because it's like, oh, this is a kid who's being brought up wrong. I don't know what's influencing him. And he's taking it out on other younger kids, yeah. Which sucks.
So, do you know the actor John Hamm?
Not really.
He was in Mad Men.
Never seen it.
He's done some movies, but
I recognize his picture.
So, John Hamm, I didn't know this. He went to the University of Texas. Go Horns, took him.
No. Saw him off.
He participated in 1990 in a violent hazing. It was so violent that the incident led to criminal charges and the fraternity chapter was permanently disbanded.
What?
The victim said he was, quote, severely beaten, dragged by a hammer, and had his pants lit on fire. And that person, the victim, says that Ham participated until the very end. And the guy needed medical care and withdrew from the school. And he filed a lawsuit against the college.
Good. Oh my gosh. That's, like, again, if you're in college, you're not a kid anymore. You're over 18, so you're an adult at that point. You're making a bad decision.
So, as recently as 2018, Esquire magazine interviewed him about this. And they said he downplayed it, and he referred to someone being led around with a, quote-unquote, with the claw of a hammer beneath his genitals, a bummer.
Okay.
Like, he referred to that incident as a bummer.
Now I never want to watch. Oh, no. See, like, now, like, will I ever watch Mad Men? Maybe I won't. Because now I know this. I'm gonna talk about this one, but I think it's kind of ironic I'm talking about it. So Paul Walker, who was in Fast and the Furious, apparently dated 16-year-olds. Now this is funny to me. I mean, not the situation, but I didn't know who Paul Walker was because I've never seen any of the Fast and Furious movies. And so when he died, I was like, who is that? But according to this article, after he had passed away, the Daily Mail and In Touch Weekly ran articles about his current girlfriend, and how she was coping with the loss of him. And then she noted that she began her relationship with him when she was 16 and he was 33.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And before her, the girlfriend he had before he started dating her, she was allegedly 16 as well when they started dating. That's no.
It's not appropriate.
Nope.
Let's go to number 9. Matthew Broderick. You know Matthew Broderick?
Yeah.
Ferris Bueller?
Lion King.
Yeah. Everybody loves Matthew Broderick.
I haven't seen Ferris Bueller, so.
What? Oh, my God. That's a whole other thing. So, apparently, there was a car crash. He drove irresponsibly and killed 2 people.
What's with all these Hollywood actors killing people with their cars?
In 1987, he killed 2 women while driving on the wrong side of the road in Northern Ireland. His girlfriend was Jennifer Grey, who played a baby in Dirty Dancing and his sister in Ferris Bueller. So I don't know exactly what happened that caused it. It was just, you know, he was driving on the wrong side of the road. He was charged with, quote, causing death by dangerous driving. He faced 5 years in jail, and he was convicted of a lesser charge of careless driving. Guess how much he was fined for killing 2 people?
Not a lot.
$175.
Oof.
He went to the hospital. He spent 4 weeks in the hospital. He had not been drinking. The other 2 women died instantly. He says he doesn't have any recollection of the accident. And he doesn't know why he was in the wrong lane. Now, in his defense, he was in Ireland. And if they drive on the wrong side of the road, you know, we call it the wrong side of the road.
Opposite of the U.S.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of get it. He could have just, like, a lapse of, like, your bearings.
Yep.
I get it. But people commit crimes like that all the time, and they get a way harsher punishment. It's like an involuntary manslaughter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Vehicular manslaughter. I mean, because at the end of the day, yes, it's a travesty or tragedy, but you're still responsible for it. You're the one behind the wheel. You're the one that's supposed to know the laws. If I do something like that here, if I go down a one way and I get into an accident and I hurt somebody or I kill somebody, I can get charged with it, even if I'm sober, because I should be aware of my surroundings. I have a license that says I'm able to drive a motor vehicle in the state of Texas. And there's, you know, and as long as I'm wearing my corrective lenses, I'm able to drive. And I'm entrusted to drive. The person that's, if you're my passenger, you're entrusting me to drive. So if I go down the wrong way and I kill you, yeah, your family's going to sue me. And yeah, there's a good chance I'm going to go to jail for something. And I got to hope I have a really damn good attorney that can help me out. You know? But you still have responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
There was no responsibility held upon him.
What shocked me more about this was the fact that I didn't know he dated Jennifer Grey. Just putting that out there. I was like, wait, what? They dated? What? Oh. They probably made a cute couple.
Oh, man.
This next one's about a stunt woman. Yeah. So she wasn't really like the actual, you know, celebrity. But there is a stunt person. Olivia Jackson is her name. She was in a really bad accident on the set of Resident Evil, the final chapter, which I have seen. I've actually seen all the Resident Evils, just saying. She was in this really bad accident and she survived. But after the accident, she was in a coma for 2 weeks and she lost her arm and had lots of other serious injuries. But she lost her arm. There's literally a picture of her with her arm missing.
She was also left with a twisted spine, paralysis of the top left quarter of her body, including her neck, dislocated shoulder, severed thumb, punctured lungs, and broken ribs. And she still has lasting nerve damage. And facial scar.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Because she was, it says like she was riding a motorcycle and she collided with a crane on set.
Mm-hmm. And the crane was the crane guy was at fault.
Oh my gosh.
So she won. She did win a legal battle, but it happened in South Africa, and there's like a fund, the road accident fund. And she's entitled to money from that, but it caps out at $15,000 a year.
That's almost like minimum wage here.
Yeah.
And who knows how much her medical expenses were.
So that was filming Resident Evil, the final chapter.
Mm-hmm.
2 months later, someone died. A crew member died when he was crushed by a Humvee. 2 months after that accident.
And he died. What? Yeah.
He was standing near a Humvee that was parked on a rotating platform when the Humvee slid off and it crushed him against the wall.
So apparently that franchise has a lot of accidents in their history.
In 2012, during the filming of Resident Evil Retribution, 16 actors who were zombies were injured when they fell off a platform.
That series was cursed, man. And
they said that the reason so many people got injured, or what made it hard, is that because they were dressed like zombies, and obviously it was probably a good makeup artist, people couldn't tell what was a real injury and what was a fake injury. Like, is this real blood? Is this fake blood? Is this a real, like, boo-boo? Is this a fake boo-boo?
Okay, that makes me giggle a little bit. Like, good for that makeup artist, but oh my gosh. Wow. Next one's about another stunt person. Mm-hmm. In the 1980s, a stunt woman named Heidi Von Belts. Belts? Yeah. She was working on the movie The Cannonball Run. Never heard of it.
I never saw it, but I heard of it.
But she was doubling for Farrah Fawcett. I know who Farrah Fawcett is. And all she had to do was sit and be a passenger in a speeding car. But I guess the car had bad tires and other, you know, technical and mechanical problems. It didn't have seat belts. So the car ended up crashing, big surprise. And Heidi, the stunt woman, was ejected from the car. Because remember, no seatbelts in the car. And she went through the windshield and she was a quadriplegic for the rest of her life. Oh, wow.
So according to Deadline, when it came time to film the stunt driver, he didn't think the car was ready. He wanted more repairs done on the car. And they told him basically like, it's going to take too long for the parts to get here. Just do the stunt.
Aww. She did get a settlement out of that, but then all the settlement money went to her hospital bills.
Yeah.
Aww. This one seems really, really sad. I don't know who this was, but it was on the set of Midnight Rider. I actually have never heard of that.
I've heard of it, but I don't know a lot about it.
It was a woman named Sarah Jones. So they were on the set for Midnight Rider. The director of Midnight Rider hadn't gotten the correct permissions to be on the train tracks that they were filming on, because you have to, you know, get a permit for that ahead of time. So she didn't do that. And this woman, Sarah Jones, ended up dying because she was trying to pull a mattress off of the tracks to prevent the train from derailing. So apparently, you know, if you don't get permission, a train could come because, you know, they're active tracks. Mm-hmm. And they had a mattress on the tracks, and she didn't want the train to get derailed and cause, you know, a huge ecological disaster. And she ended up dying. Wow.
They even passed there was a court case. There's a thing called the Safety for Sarah movement. And that's on sets now. That's apparently a part of the set.
Oh, wow.
It's like you gotta, to be sure, like, you're not in danger.
Just so a producer or someone can save some money by cutting some corners.
Yeah. So apparently the movie was never released.
Oh, maybe that's why I've really never heard
of it. It was a Greg Allman biopic. So Greg Allman, the singer. Huh. The film's director pleaded guilty to involuntary manslaughter, and he did serve some jail time.
Hmm.
I didn't know this about Johnny Cash. Everybody knows Johnny Cash.
I know Johnny Cash. The Man in Black.
Mm-hmm. Johnny Cash was 0% sorry that he single-handedly caused a wildfire that killed off 49 of 53 endangered condors in California.
What's a condor?
A bird.
It is a bird. Like, okay. I was thinking it was a bird.
Yep. So apparently in the 60s, his overheated party truck became an ignition torch, and it scorched hundreds of acres, destroying foliage on three mountains and roasting into near extinction the endangered California condors. And
he literally almost killed off an entire species.
Yes. And he did have a statement afterwards that said, quote, "I don't care about your damn yellow buzzards."
He did a lot of drinking, if I recall. So
he did a lot of drugs. He did a lot of drinking.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things they point out in this article is you didn't see this scene in Walk the Line. You know, you didn't see Joaquin Phoenix kill off the condors.
Well, they probably, you know, didn't have access to condors.
Yeah, they were gone.
Okay, this one made me sad when I read this one. This one's about Owen Wilson.
A lot of people know Owen Wilson.
Yeah, really funny guy in the movies and all that. But he has three kids, I guess. He has two sons and a daughter, but he's only close with his sons and he doesn't see his daughter. So I guess in 2018, he had a daughter, I guess her name's Lila, with his girlfriend at the time, who quickly became his ex-girlfriend for some reason. But this is Owen Wilson's third kid. He has two other children, two boys that he's close with. But after the daughter was born, he never went to see her. He's never seen his daughter. He has no interest in being in her life. He checked the no visitation box during a court hearing. I guess maybe she was trying to get what's called child support.
And that was after he was named the biological father.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I know I'm the biological father, but I don't want to see her or have anything to do with her. So this little girl has just grown up without him because he doesn't visit and he doesn't want custody.
That's horrible. Mm-hmm. That's so sad, actually. That makes me look down upon him. Because it's like, I get it if you have a bad relationship with the mom. Like, I understand reasons why some people aren't a part of the kid's life. Maybe the mom doesn't want him, whatever. But the mom wanted him to be a part of the kid's life. Is he even giving the kid child support?
Oh, I don't know,
like,
about
you
that.
Know what I'm saying? Like, are you just not doing anything for this kid? Like, I mean, if you don't want to be in the kid's life, whatever. It's you. You're gonna have to own that one day. But are you supporting this kid at least?
I'm sure they
have
something, I would hope.
I'd love to read that part of the article. So this next one here, I've heard about this, but I've never actually knew what happened. I've just kind of heard like little sayings about it. So apparently there's a movie called Last Tango in Paris. And that features Marlon Brando. Oscar award-winning actor. He passed away many years ago, but he's he was in The Godfather. He was the Godfather. No?
Nope.
Well, so apparently there's a quote-unquote butter scene, and Marlon Brando was 48 and Maria Schneider, which was the actress, was 19, and he didn't ask her, he didn't really ask her about the scene. He didn't tell her what he was doing until, like, it really just happened. He just did it without consulting her and said nothing after the take. And the director and Marlon Brando came up with this scene in which Brando's character uses a stick of butter to anally rape his lover. And the director says it was all in the name of art, and that he didn't want to tell her because he wanted her reaction as a girl, not as an actress.
No. Okay. Okay. That is effed up.
And it wasn't in the script.
No.
It wasn't in the script. After the scene, Marlon Brando didn't console her or apologize or anything. He just kind of did it. There was one take. And it was like, everybody was in on it but her.
So she literally got raped.
With a stick of butter.
In front of a camera.
I assume a camera crew.
And a camera crew. But he literally raped her on the set of a movie in front of everybody while filming.
Yes. In the name of art. That
poor girl.
In the name of art.
I'm going to look this story up. That, I don't know this movie. I've never heard of Last Tango in Paris. I didn't know about this butter scene, but now I'm going to buy tubs of butter.
Instead of sticks. Oh, yeah, I had heard about it, but I didn't really know what happened. I just knew something happened on that movie. I didn't, and then I read that, I'm like, oh, that's what happened. I didn't know that happened. Do you remember the show Catfish?
Yes, and I was really big into that show when it first came out.
So, Nev was like mm-hmm. the main catfisher.
No, he's not the catfisher. He's the one who...
The host or whatever.
He's like the host, and he's the one who catches the fish, I guess.
So apparently he punched a woman in the face. Yeah, he was tossed out of college, and he punched a woman in the face.
Yeah, I didn't know this about him. It's because in the show, he comes off as very level-headed, very calm, not overly, you know, aggressive about anything. And apparently he talks about it in his book, In Real Life, Love, Lives, and Identity in the Digital Age, but I've never read his book. I didn't know he had a book. And he claims that he didn't know he was punching a woman? Dude.
Yeah. So apparently the woman that got punched, they were at a dance, and I guess he was taking pictures of queer couples dancing and kissing without permission. And the girl talked to the student affairs liaison at the event, and nothing was done about it. So she confronted Nev. And then I guess somewhere in this recollection is that she assaulted him. But she says, no, I just tapped him on the shoulder and he turned and he hit me out of nowhere. I went down and he held me in a headlock and repeatedly punched me while I tried to get free.
Okay, so he didn't just punch her one time. He punched her and then put her in a headlock and continued to hit her.
Yeah.
What? And she had to go to the hospital?
And apparently, you know, Nev comes from money, so, and she did it. So, like, you know, that's kind of how you put two and two together that things.
So now I don't feel bad for him anymore at all. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Don Johnson. You know Don Johnson? Miami Vice? Melanie Griffith?
No, I'm shaking my head. You guys can't see this. I have no idea who these people are.
I believe they're still together. Dakota Johnson, the girl that was in 50 Shades of Grey.
I know Dakota Johnson.
That's their kid.
Whoa, that's weird. Okay, yeah. I can kind of see Dakota Johnson in her dad because I'm looking at a picture of him.
Well, so, and this is back in 1972, and Don Johnson met her when he was 22 years old, and he started dating her when she was 14. They moved in together when she was 15. They got engaged on her 18th birthday.
Okay.
You know, so they've been together this whole time, if I'm not mistaken. Or they at least have a kid together, but I'm pretty sure they're still together to an extent. So it's like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, was it appropriate? Probably not. But they're still together. So it's like, they loved each other. You know? That's kind of like one of those weird, like, I don't know.
Okay, cool. I'm glad that y'all are together. But there wasn't a lot of, like, speculation around that stuff back then. Because back in the day, and I don't mean just like the 80s and 70s, I'm talking like back in the day, like 100 years ago, these older men would marry these young girls because one, life expectancy was short, right? Like people just didn't live long. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of these men, maybe they did marry someone their own age and then, you know, wife got pregnant and maybe she dies in childbirth, mm-hmm. right? And back then, there was really no such thing as a single father, really. Like, the dad's not going to stay home and take care of the baby, right? So what's he going to do? Either you get a nanny for a little bit or a housekeeper or whatever, or you just get married.
Get a replacement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women died in childbirth back then. So I think as he gets older, the pool of women his age that are still alive are still married to their husbands. Mm-hmm. So he almost has no choice but to get these women that are pretty young, because that's the available pool of who's still alive and not married already. There's no, you know, 30, 40 year old single women out here just living life. Like they're now. No, they're either married or they're dead from childbirth.
You got to go younger. You got to go newer, faster, stronger, whatever. Okay, moving on. Do you know Hulk Hogan, the wrestler?
No.
Oh my God. Hulk Hogan, you don't remember him? He's like the most famous.
Does he have
wrestler.
Blonde hair?
Yes, he's had blonde hair for decades.
Okay, I understand what he did, but I've never like seen any of him on TV or anything.
So he has a son named Nick, and they used to have a reality show on VH1, or maybe it was MTV. So in 2007, Nick, who was like, I think he was like 18 or 19, that was his son.
Mm-hmm.
Nick got into an accident, basically reckless driving, and they crashed. And he crashed the car with his best friend, and his best friend was on child support, and life support. He had brain injuries, you know.
Aww.
He was sentenced to 8 months in jail in 2008. And then in last year, at the end of 2023, he was arrested for driving under the influence.
Doesn't it speculate that he was under the influence in that first crash?
So, he was arrested on a misdemeanor charge of driving under the influence. And he was released with a $500 bond.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
And it's in the same county. The same city, county, where the first accident happened. It's like
when you have money, you don't face consequences. Funny how that works.
Alec Baldwin? Do you know Alec Baldwin?
Yes, I know Alec Baldwin.
Everybody knows Alec Baldwin.
I know Alec Baldwin.
He plays a great impersonation of Donald Trump on SNL. You know, he's a pretty good actor. Everybody knows him. Do you remember him being like a really horrible dad?
No.
So he called his 11-year-old daughter, at the time she was 11, a thoughtless little pig in a voicemail he left her. This was in 07. This was his daughter, Ireland, I believe, who he has with Kim Basinger. And there's like a tape of him, like, because Basinger's lawyers, like, aired the tape. And yeah, he's calling her rude, thoughtless pig.
And
he went to rehab afterwards.
Okay, so maybe he was drunk or high on something.
Like I think he was like a raging alcoholic at one point, if I'm not mistaken.
Ugh.
Seinfeld? You know the show Seinfeld?
I know the show. I've never watched it.
So Jerry Seinfeld, the main guy, mm-hmm. you know, he was 39 years old and he dated someone who was in high school.
All these older men dating these children. These are children. You're under 18. You're a child.
He was in a relationship with her in 93 at the height of like, you know, or like the rise of Seinfeld. And they only went public after she turned 18. But he started dating her when she was a 17-year-old high school senior.
Child. How did he even, like, how did he meet her?
I don't know. In 93, he did a Playboy interview talking about her. I met this girl, Shoshana. She's very sweet and she's very pretty. I didn't know how old she was. I knew that she wasn't 40. I took her to a basketball game and that was the whole thing. I didn't meet that many women that I like, period. So when I like someone, I don't care about her race, creed, or national origin. If I like her, I don't care. I don't discriminate. If she's 18, if she's intelligent, that's fine.
Such a cop-out. That's what they all say. It doesn't matter to me. I don't discriminate. I don't care what they look like or how old they are. I don't care. I don't discriminate.
He says, I wasn't dating her. We just went to a restaurant and that was it. That was back then.
She just went out with him because he was this famous actor who was rich, right? And she was probably like at school telling all her friends. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then like, I guess the creme de la creme, like the weirdest one of all this is director Woody Allen.
Oh, I know about him. I know about Woody Allen.
There's like a whole thing there.
Oh, I've never seen a Woody Allen movie and I'm never gonna. even though apparently some of his movies are really good, like Annie Hall and stuff like that. But I will never watch it. Ever.
Like, I always knew pieces of the Woody Allen story. And I knew there was, like, some underage stuff going on. But I didn't quite understand this story until I read it.
There's a series on, I don't remember which platform. I'll have to look it up and send it to you. But there's, like, a documentary series about this. But the main facts you need to know is that, one, he molested his own adoptive daughter. So, not his biological daughter, but still his daughter that he adopted. He molested her for years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she comes out on this documentary and says that. But the biggest scandal that's almost worse than that, even though that's absolutely god awful. His wife at the time, Mia Farrow, she had an adoptive daughter with her ex-husband. Mm-hmm. So Woody, when she married Woody Allen was this girl's stepdad.
Right.
Right. Okay.
But that wasn't her biological mom. That was her adopted mother.
Adoptive mother. And then her adoptive mother's new husband, which would be her stepdad. So he started a relationship with her, like a sexual relationship with her in December 1991 when he was still with Mia Farrow at the time. So he started a relationship with his own adoptive, like, stepdaughter.
He was 56.
Yep.
And she was 21.
Mm-hmm.
And it was his adopted stepdaughter. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Granted, there's no biological ties connecting them. But still, it's like, okay, so you molest your first adoptive daughter. And then the other one, she's too old to, like, molest. Maybe she's older than a child. So you just marry her.
She was home from college or something, I think. And they just hooked up. But that's just, like, this whole, like, weird, convoluted, like, I can't make this up.
But, and I think what happened is, so, they first met when the girl was, like, 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, she's known him her whole life, or at least half her life, right, when they got together.
Right.
How much grooming do you think had to have been done in those 10, 11 years?
A lot.
A lot. That's a decade of grooming. So, it wasn't just, oh, yeah, you were my stepdad last month, and now I'm coming home after school for break, and now all of a sudden I find you sexually attractive. No, this was lots of grooming over years and years and years.
But that's just, I don't know, that one's the weirdest one to me out of all of the stories. And there's some doozies in there, but that's just, like, the weirdest one. And this is just a collection of stuff that we forgot about. In 5-10 years, there's going to be an entirely new collection of stuff that people are going to forget about. You know, like the Danny Masterson thing, the dude from That 70s Show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stuff like that. There's going to be a whole, like, pile of the Ariana Grande thing we were talking about. There's going to be a whole pile of, like, scandal.
And I can be like, I remember that.
You know?
I was there.
And, like, Woody Allen is still, he's made films. I believe he's won Academy Awards. You know? Christian Slater still does film. Alec Baldwin still does SNL and all that stuff. You know, it's like people do these things and they still, like, I get it. You grow and you overcome and all that. But it's like, gosh, some of this stuff is like, do you overcome that? Do you grow it from just, it?
And it proves that you can be really good at your job, but then still be a really crappy person.
Yes. 100%.
These people were really good at being actors, actresses. But outside of that, they were just horrible people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a pretty interesting article.
I was surprised by a lot of what I read.
Me too.
Some of them I'm going to have to, like, look up some more info on because I just literally don't know who they are.
The butter thing, I can't wrap my
head around. The butter thing, the Noxzema chick.
I can't wrap my head around the butter thing.
The butter thing. I really can.
I knew there was a thing that happened, but I didn't quite, like, I never really knew what happened. I'm like,
oh, man. Someone did that today, they'd be sued the same night.
They'd be in jail. You couldn't get away with it now.
Mm-mm. The laws have changed for the better in that aspect, but man.
If anything, that tells you how the laws have changed over the last 30, 40 years. Well, that's going to wrap up episode 108. Wrapping it up. Let's thank the sponsors. Let's thank Wavespace Audio for the music, as always. Young Ideas Dish, hit them up for all of their your Dish and Google product needs.
Thanks, guys.
So on behalf of myself and Ms. Caitlin,
hey,
we're Law and Disorder, and we will holler at you guys in episode 109.
See you then. Bye.
Laters.